Greatness isn't measured by how we feel or the weather or anything else like that. But we have a great morning before us because we come to worship the Lord and to come together around the table of the Lord and to remember and to partake of those things that remind us of who He is, remind us of His love, remind us of His faithfulness. A new day and a new year opens up to us. The opportunity to live for Jesus, to grow in Him, to serve Him. What a tremendous opportunity and opportunities lay ahead for our work as a church and for the Lord as we see the great need of Christian influence in all areas of our lives. Christian influence needs to be seen. It needs to be felt. It needs to be experienced. And we're the ones to take that and to carry that to those areas. There's so much for us to do, so much for us to accomplish in the coming days, but we need to do it together. It's not a solo job. It's not for one person. It's not for a couple. It's for everyone. It's for the body of Christ. We're part of that body. We need to be carrying the message of hope, the message of salvation, the message of change, the message that stands against everything that comes against the knowledge of Christ and against who He is. There's so much for us to do, so much for us to accomplish in the coming days. And as I said, it needs to be done together. You know, the things going on in our country point to the need to be at our best for Christ. When you see evil being promoted as good and doing right promoted as wrong, something's twisted and something's not right. And that's where our nation is headed because we've put God on the back burner as a country. He needs to come back to forefront. And we need to make sure that we're praying for that and that we're pushing for that, that we're voting for that, that we're doing everything we can to make that happen. Time is ticking. The return of Christ is drawing close. Every day that goes by, His return is closer than the day before. Every day that we go through, His return is a day closer. Every day that passes, His return is a day closer. Could happen at any moment. We need to see our church working and seeking to build His kingdom here in the North Branch area. That's where He's planted us. And so we need to be doing what we can. We are the body of Christ. We're part of the larger body of Christ as well. And we have the privilege and we have the responsibility of working together to see His will done, to see His will accomplished. The privilege is ours to open our hearts today with this time around the Lord's table, to open our hearts to what He wants to do in us. He has something to do in your life today. He wants you to experience Him today in a new way and in a fresh way. And around His table, that can happen. It's all up to you. It's where your heart is. It's where your mind is. It's what you're doing. It's what you're thinking. You know, if you're already planning what you're going to do this afternoon and everything else, it's going to go right by you. But if you're focused on Him, if you're focused on these elements and what they represent, then a freshness and a newness can come into your heart. We need to start each day with the opportunity to get before the Lord and to have our hearts examined, set right, focused on the priority of putting Jesus first in everything we think, say, and do. And when we do that, everything will fall into line the way it's supposed to be. But if we don't put Him first, and we get at the end of the day and we're all frustrated and we say, well, what happened here? Hopefully you hear the still small voice that says, you didn't put Me first. You didn't start with Me. You didn't make your priorities right. Try it again tomorrow. Let's see what happens. And things will be different. You see, relationships are the key. Relationships are the key. Relationships are key between husbands and wives. Where are you at? What are you doing? Are you doing biblical things? Are you doing what God says in your marriages? Are you following the guidelines that are there for us in our marriages so that we are doing what He does and what He said and what He's given to us to guide us? Each family member, siblings with siblings, parents with kids, you know, are we doing it God's way? Are we seeing our lives aligned with His principles and doing the things that He said? If not, you can expect chaos. You can expect problems. You can expect trouble. You can expect things that aren't going to go right. We need to get in line with what He does and what He says because it's the right way. We see between church families, the relationships that are there, so key, so important. We need to see those growing and becoming more and more important in our hearts and in our lives. And as we seek to show and see the love of Christ, we need to see that lived out in our daily experience, in our daily lives, in our walk with the Lord, in our walk in our families, at work, where we go to school, what we do. It's there. The fact that His light is in us. So therefore, we reflect that light to the dark world around us. And so it's so essential. So essential. We are light reflectors. And we have His light in us. He says to us, literally, you're the light of the world now. Well, we can't be the light of the world unless we're lit, right? And if we're lit, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, He says, you don't take that lit candle, that lit lamp, that lit flashlight or whatever, cover it up. You don't do that. You let it shine bright. You let it shine bright. I forget who I was talking to the other day. I did this years and years ago in a church that we had. It was a nighttime service and dark outside, and we were in a part of town where there wasn't much light. And at a certain point in time, I had the usher shut the lights off. And a tiny, tiny, tiny little light, and I turned it on. And that light could be seen by everyone. I asked, can you see the light? Yeah, we see the light. I said, you see the amount of darkness around us? That tiny light couldn't be extinguished with all that darkness. Therefore, let your light shine. Because the darkness, no matter how great it is, cannot extinguish you. So we need to reflect His light at work, wherever we're employed, wherever we work, at school. We need to let that light shine, at home, wherever you're at. Reflect the light. Our life purpose needs to become clear as to what the Lord wants to accomplish in us and through us. He's ready. He's willing. What is He waiting for? Us to get on board and say, I'm ready. I want to be a part of this. I want to be on board with you. Show me and lead me. You know, there are people all around us who we need to give our message to, because there's people all around us who are lost. They need Christ. They need salvation. They need to be changed. We may be the only Jesus they know, in a way of putting it. We may be the only one that they ever see or hear. We need to be that one. There are people who need to be discipled, who need to grow in depth in their Christian walk and in their spiritual growth, grow in their faith, to see their spiritual gifts and understand their spiritual gifts and to use their spiritual gifts in the church the way God intended it to be. That's how He wants to use us. Communion draws all this together. Draws all this together as we focus on Him and the bond that we have as we think about the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord. No one can claim to have come to earth, lived, died, buried, and to be risen again from the dead except for Jesus. He's the one who did it. It gives us a common purpose. Our death to sin is so needed. Romans 6:6 says, and then verse 12 says, for we know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that sin's dominion, the body, may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. We don't have to be slaves to sin any longer. Verse 12 says, therefore, do not let sin reign. Don't let it be boss in your life, in your mortal body, so that you obey its desires. We have a new boss when we accept Christ. We have a new one in charge. Let's make it a priority to pray for each other, to work together, to see our church grow to the glory of God as we work to build our families and we work to build our witness so that we're firm, so that we know what we believe, so that we have the confidence to talk to people, so that when they challenge us in our faith, we can say that we believe this because, and we can give them the facts, and we can show them how, and we can show them why, so we don't have to be afraid, well, what if they ask me questions? We're going to know how to answer questions. The focal point of everything is Christ. He's the focal point of absolutely everything, and that needs to be established in our lives. We need to come to that place where we acknowledge that, where we affirm that this is what my focal point in my life is always going to be. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says this, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus is the firstborn. No one else can claim that. No one else has that opportunity. No one else has that authority. No one else has that privilege. No one else has the power to back that up, except for Jesus. And then Paul goes on. He says, for everything was created by him. Jesus was part of the creation process. He was there in Genesis 1:1 when God said, let us. The us was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us. And he created in heaven and on earth, the visible, the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. These are all ranks of powers in the world and in the evil realm. He's above them. He's over them. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. In other words, he's eternal. He's eternal. You say, well, people, well, he was born. We celebrate Christmas. Jesus was born. No, he came to earth, and that's the way he came to earth, to come into our world to help us out of our sin dilemma. He was before all things, and by him all things hold together. His strength, his existence holds everything together. We say, no, it's all the molecules and everything that we see are here are holding us together. God ceases to exist. Jesus ceases to exist for a second, and you're on the floor. You're not in a chair. You're falling somewhere in free fall because nothing exists. Because he exists, all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness, the fullness of God, is dwelling in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. What we celebrate this morning is because of the cross. He does that for us. There's a powerful statement of fact that's here. He is, it says, doesn't it? Not he was or has been, but is now, currently, and always will be who he is supposed to be. Paul gives us two great things about Jesus that show he is more than just a great teacher. A lot of people, oh, he's a good teacher. Yeah, he was a great teacher. Or he's just another prophet. That's what a lot of false religions say. Oh, he's just another prophet. No, no. No, he was God and is God and always will be. First, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. In other words, God is not, you can't see God. He's a spirit. But you can see Jesus. He's the image. He's the image bearer. This means that Christ is the perfect manifestation or the visible expression of God. He's the visible expression. To see what God is like, look at Jesus. He perfectly represents God to us in a form that we can see, in a form that we can understand. It's hard to understand spirit, isn't it? It's hard to understand it. You know, it's hard to imagine God's glory. When we get there, you're never going to see God because his glory, which we can't understand, is so immense, so fantastic, so vibrant that if you could see him, you couldn't, because everything around him is just so brilliant and so beyond our explanation. And that's the way it is with him and the way he's made it to be. And that's who he is. The Old Testament is loaded with all kinds of things about wisdom, especially the book of Proverbs. It has two great chapters devoted strictly to wisdom, chapter 2 and chapter 8. And we see there that wisdom is co-eternal with God and to have been with God when he created the world. If you look at chapter 8 of Proverbs, and if you start at verse 22, Solomon begins to explain that. He says, the Lord made me, who's me? Wisdom. The Lord made me at the beginning of his creation, before his works of long ago. I was formed before ancient times, from the beginning before the earth began. I was born when there were no watery depths and no springs filled with water. I was delivered before there were the mountains and the hills were established, before he made the land and the fields, or the first soil of the earth. I was there when he established the heavens and when he laid out the horizons on the surface of the ocean, when he placed the skies above and the fountains of the ocean gushed out, when he set a limit for the sea so that the waters would not violate his command, and when he laid out the foundations of the earth, I was a skilled craftsman beside him. This is wisdom. I was his delight every day, always rejoicing before him. I was rejoicing in his inhabited world, delighting in the human race. And so all of these things are there. Wisdom was there. God is wisdom. You see, wisdom is the image of the goodness of God, of the goodness of him. In Jesus, this wisdom has come to us in bodily form for all to see. We weren't there back then in those days, but we have eyewitnesses that saw Jesus. They lived with Jesus. They worked with Jesus. They saw him die. They were there when he was empty in the tomb. They were there when he rose and showed them his resurrection body. He's there when he was taken from the earth. And he says, in the same way you see me go, guess what? I'm coming back just like this. Be ready. Be waiting. He had to come in bodily form. Why? To go to the cross. To pay for our sin by shedding his blood. When we look to Jesus, he shows us not only what God is like, he shows us what we were meant to be. We were meant to be that way. We were meant to be like him. But we sinned. Man sinned. Ruined it all. Messed it all up. And that's where we find ourselves today. He didn't discard us. He didn't look at us as worthless. He said, we'll fix this. And he came in the form of Christ. And Jesus came in a human form. And he came and he died for us. The word that Paul uses for image, the Greek word is icon, it literally means portrait. We get our word photograph from this word. So in Jesus, we see the personal characteristics and the distinguishing marks of God. Jesus shows us what God is like. Secondly, Paul uses this word in this phrase to show us that Jesus isn't just the image of God. He shows us the full revelation of who God is and that we need nothing more in life than him. And we need him in our lives, and we need him and his word because he's the Logos. He's the living word. We need his word. He is the word. John writes about that in his gospel. Coming to earth to live so that we could be and he could be the sacrifice for our sin. Paul says, therefore, he's the firstborn over all creation. People get hung up on that term, firstborn. What's he mean, firstborn? How could that be if he's God? Well, there's a lot of misunderstanding about this title, so it's important that we understand what's meant by it. And to look at this title on the surface seems that Jesus is the first person created, as some religions wrongly say. But that's not what it means. Firstborn is only used because it's a title of honor. He was given the title of honor. We also learn in Scripture that firstborn is the title of Messiah. And Psalm 89:27 says, I will also make him my firstborn, greatest of the kings of the earth. No one greater. It's clear from the use of this word in the Bible that firstborn is not used like we would use the term firstborn. When you have your kids all there, well, this is my firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn. It's not a time sense when it's used of Jesus. There's no time sense related there. Like Jesus is not the firstborn of many. It's used in a sense of special honor. Special honor. He is the one that has the special honor that no one else has, that no one else can have. And anybody else claims to have it, they better be able to prove it. How do they prove it? Die and be raised from the dead. Not going to happen. Only happened to Jesus. So what Paul says about Jesus is that he's the firstborn of all creation. He means that the highest honor which creation holds, all of it belongs to Christ. Because of who he is. In other words, he's before all creation. Hence, he's eternal. Before creation. He was at and part of creation. He is eternal. He is there. He is the one that we praise. And he's the one that we worship. And he's the one that we look to because of who he is. And that's what Colossians 1:16 says. He was there. He came and he died for our sins. He rose from the dead and defeated sin, defeated death, so we could be cleansed from our sin and from our guilt. So this is a powerful thing for us to grasp. It's a powerful thing for us to meditate on, that our God made redemption, in other words, being bought back after a payment was made, because we were lost and we had to be bought back, for us at the expense of the life of Jesus, who willingly died for us. So, as we come to the table of the Lord, and as we share in these elements, and we allow our hearts to be made right, it'll help us focus and help us keep perspective on His plan and His goals for each of us, now and in the year ahead. He has plans for you. Are you going to be a part of it? He has plans for you. Are you going to get in on His plans for you? Or are you going to say, well, you know, that's nice, these plans, but I got better ones? Can't happen. Can't happen. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. Make whatever changes are necessary in your life so that you stay in step with Him. Don't get out of step with Him. Stay in step with Him. Keep in step with Him. Walk in step. You ever see somebody that's out of step with somebody? You're bouncing around, doing all kinds of things. When you're in the military, you learn to march. Everybody's marching in step. One person gets out of step and everybody sees it, because it messes everything up. We need to stay in step with Christ. You stay in step with Him. There's no better way for us to serve and start each day than to humble ourselves and to serve Him and to offer ourselves to Him as our Lord and Savior. You know, by surrendering our expectations. Everybody's got expectations. A lot of times our expectations is what gets us in trouble. Well, I expected this to happen. It didn't happen. So I'm all tore up and I'm all ticked off and I'm all this. Expectations come and expectations go. Give your expectations to the Lord. Give them to Him. Give your dreams to the Lord, because He can make them better. Give your desires to the Lord, because when you do, it'll yield the most blessed outcome for you that you can imagine. And you're not going to experience it unless you do it. So I trust that you'll take the time ahead, that the Lord will give you the growth and the nurture in your spiritual life that is what should be our top priority and your top priority. Let's make a difference in our community this year for the Lord. We celebrate here. What we celebrate makes it possible. And so this morning, we're going to have some music play quietly. We're going to sit quiet for a few minutes. We're going to ask the Lord to cleanse, get our heart right, make sure there's nothing in the way, nothing that would hinder us from taking communion. Because you know, if you take communion in a wrong way, if you take communion and your heart's not right, you got problems. Read 1 Corinthians 11. Paul says, that's why a lot of people are sick and many have died, because you've taken and eaten and done communion in an unworthy manner. An unworthy manner means our heart isn't right. We're not in step with Him. So we celebrate that this morning. And so we're going to get ready to serve you that communion. So if you bow your hearts, let's ask the Lord's help, and just sit and quietly listen and quietly prepare your life. Father, we thank You. We praise You for who You are. You are the only one that can help us in our desperate need, in our lostness. We pray that You'll help us this morning. Make sure that our hearts are right before You, that the joy that we can have when we take communion will be ours, that the change that You want to bring will be ours. We ask in Jesus' name that You consecrate these elements for Your use. They've been set aside for this purpose. Consecrate them for that. And for this we'll give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus stepped out of glory, came to be born just like us because he had to have a body to bring and offer as a sacrifice on the cross for us. And that's when he gathered his disciples after spending 3 years with him. He says, listen, I got to go, but I want you to do something. You do this in remembrance of me. When you do this, remember that I gave myself for you. And so he says, as he passed the bread, he says, take, eat, and remember, this is my body that was given for you. Eat it in remembrance of me. God's the one that set up the sacrificial system. He's the one that set it up to where blood would cover the sins of the Old Testament saints and the Inner Testament saints, because he knew that there was one that would come that would have to shed his blood that would forgive past, present, and those that would sin in the future if they would ask for forgiveness. So because God set the standard, he had to send one who was perfect to shed his blood for us, and that only one was Jesus. And that's why he came and lovingly shed his blood for us, so that we could come to him and ask for forgiveness, cleansing, to be made fresh and new anytime we need it. And so this morning, we follow his example. He says, take and drink. This reminds you of my blood. Take in remembrance of me. Thank you. stand this morning as we close singing hymn number 100.